Well, it's Mother's Day, and you've been through the singing, you've been through all that's part of a service, and the pastor walks up to the pulpit, you have your Bible in hand, and you're ready to hear the pastor preach. But as he walks to the pulpit, you'll notice that there's someone that comes in. It's a little unusual. A lady walks in the back, and she walks in. You notice that she doesn't dress like the rest of us. I mean, she's appropriate and all, but she looks like she just walked out of the Bible times. And before the pastor can really even begin to speak or to say anything else, she begins to talk, and she says, "Nothing unusual happened to me that evening, it seemed. It was later in the day. I was going to the well to get the water that we needed for the evening. And I was there talking with my friends, reminiscing about the things of the day and just chit-chatting together. And then this man asked me to give him a drink of water. I had filled up my jar. I'd put it on my shoulder. I was walking, and I noticed the man. And I said, "Well, would you like a drink?" And I took the jar off my shoulder, and I put it down. I watched him take a long drink. I noticed that he was dressed like a servant, but he was someone from a very well-to-do household. I noticed his clothing was dusty. And it was pretty evident to me that he had been on a long journey. And after he took his drink, I looked and I saw his camels. And I asked him a question. I said, would it be all right if I gave your camels to drink also?" And he said, "Oh, you have no idea how much I would like you to do that. You are the answer to my prayer." Well, now she's interrupted church and everything, right? What do you do with that? So the pastor invites her up and says, "Hey, who are you?" "Well, I'm Rebecca. You can read all about my story. It's recorded in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 24 through Genesis chapter 27. But I want to tell you about my story. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 24. This is Rebecca. She is in time, the wife of Isaac. Her father-in-law is the great Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. And on this day, she says, it seemed like just a normal day, but that day, everything in my life changed. I didn't understand how far it would change my life and where my life would go, but I do know that on that day, my life changed when I began to align my purposes with God's purposes. Do you know that's true for all of us? Our lives change when we align our purposes with God's purposes. And Rebecca goes on, and, "Well, Rebecca, tell us about it." She said, "Well, the servant of Abraham had prayed. He prayed a wonderful prayer of great faith." Now we've turned to it in our Bible, and I'm going to invite you to look at your Bible and read it with me. It's follow along as I read Genesis chapter 24, verse 12 through verse 14. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that when the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, that she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, for the same shall be that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master." Rebecca reminds us that Abraham sent his servant to get a bride for his son Isaac. And on that day he prayed, Lord, would you direct me to the right one? And on that day, I had no idea when he asked me for a drink of water and I gave him a drink of water what that would mean. I had no idea when he asked me to give his camels to drink what that would mean. But I knew that giving camels a drink of water was not like getting a bowl of water for your dog. A camel typically will drink about 20 gallons of water at a time. Now, when you read this text, your scripture, you'll notice in verse 10 of Genesis 24 that when this servant went on the journey, he had 10 camels. Now, let's do some camel watering calculations. 10 camels, 20 gallons of water apiece. How many gallons is that? Well, y'all been to school, huh? Good. Now, I want you to imagine, I can't personally imagine watering camels. I really can't. But I want you to imagine, let's say that she had a 5-gallon bucket. And I want you to picture this in your mind, that she goes to this well. Well is just an open hole. There would be baked bricks around it, earthen bricks, clay, not as cool as the cactus we saw this morning, already in children's worship, maybe stone. And the water's let down, 5 gallons, and then the water's pulled back up. How many of you have ever lifted a 5-gallon bucket of anything? I think I'll go for the 2-gallon bucket. 5 gallons. Imagine this. Let's say that she had a 5-gallon bucket. She drops it down, and then she takes it, and she takes it to the camel. The camels drink, and she may have another bucket. She may not, but then she takes the next one, 5 gallons at a time. 5 gallons at a time. Now, when you start figuring this out, this is a job that if it takes just 3 minutes, each of those trips back and forth, just 3 minutes, and my guess is it'll take a little longer than that. Watering 10 camels, 200 gallons of water. How many of you think this isn't just something you're going to do in 15, 20 minutes? In fact, if it were just 3 minutes with 5 gallons of water in each bucket, it would take her 2 hours. And I suspect that it probably took much longer than that. And on that day, here's a woman that takes a stranger she does not know, not only serves him, but initiates a task that is extensive in the effort and in the time that she is willing to expend to a total stranger. But this is how her relationship began with this family, the man who would in time become her husband. And we ask Rebecca, that is such an interesting story. Is there anything that you learned that you can share with all of us today? And Rebecca would say, well, I learned that great relationships begin with great character. She'd say, you know, in fact, when I look back on my life and I look at all that took place in our lives, the wonderful things that God brought into our lives, and yet the challenges that God brought into our lives, as I look back on it, and even as the Bible records it, our biggest problems were always problems of character. And I would say, never stop developing your character. Always let the Lord Jesus Christ transform your life, whatever is happening, and let him change you. Well, you know, Rebecca, it's Mother's Day, and I we'd really, I guess since it's Mother's Day, we'd really like to ask about your children. And she begins to tell her story. Well, when we were married, we wanted children so badly, but we didn't have any children. We waited and we waited and we waited. When we got married, Isaac was 40 years old. And after many years, we just began to pray. And in fact, you can read about it in your Bible, Genesis chapter 25, verse 20 and verse 21. And I'll read to you what God tells us there, that Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, and of Padan Aram, and the sister of Laban, of the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. She says, oh, and when our boys came, we were so grateful. And God taught us something really that's so important. If you don't mind, I'd like to tell every one of the parents in your congregation about it. Well, sure, Rebekah, go ahead. I want every one of the parents in this congregation to know that every child is a gift from God. Every child is a gift from God. And I want them to know of the great responsibility that God gives every one of them. We've had some interesting things happen this week in the issue in our country about life and the value of life and the terrible scourge of abortion. And really, it was a leaked Supreme Court draft of an opinion. We don't know really what will come of it. And I know you probably have your opinion on all of that, as far as why and what and all that that means. But it has been very interesting to watch this week, if you've watched the news or read the news, the reaction of people within our country to this issue. And I want to say that God indeed is the giver of life. Each child, a precious gift. Each child is challenging. I'm glad you weren't a challenging child when you were a child. But it is easy to forget the preciousness of life, and that God, for his reasons and his purposes and his designs beyond the understanding of men, God is a God who is indeed the giver of life. And this is a gift. When God brings a child into your home, this is a gift that God gives. And can I help you to remember, while you're in the midst of parenting and you're training your grandchildren's parents and you're training another generation and all the challenges that that involves, can I remind you to enjoy your children along the way? It's easy to get so burdened with the responsibility that you miss out on enjoying them. On the other hand, you can be so focused on enjoying them, you don't take seriously and adequately your responsibility. But these are gifts from God. And enjoy them and be grateful for the gifts that God gives into your life. Jesus was so concerned about this that he said this in Mark chapter 9, verse 42. He said, whosoever offends, that is, creates problems in the life of this child and is not faithful to care for this child and to nurture this child, it would be better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he'd be cast into the sea. So is the gift of these children. Well, Rebekah interrupts and she says, hey, Pastor, while we're talking about children, can I share something else? Well, yeah, what would you like to share? I want to tell the people this, that every child is unique. Every child is unique. I had a set of twins, and yet these twins were so different. We read about the differences of these unique children in our Bibles. You'll notice chapter 25, verses 22 and 23, that these two children were different in their destinies. Look at verse 22. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went and inquired of the Lord. Now, Lord, I'm telling you, these boys are fighting. These children are fighting already. And if your children fight, I'm sure they don't, but if your children might happen to fight, you are not the first parent to have to deal with fighting children. She had to deal with these fighting boys even in the womb, but God tells her something else. The Lord said to her, verse 23, "Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." These are two independent individuals that are going to be men who will both be fathers of nations. Isaac, the Jewish people. Jacob, the Jewish people. Esau, the Arabs. Each of these boys, even in the womb, there was a destiny that God had designed for them. Oh, they're different in their destinies. Each of our children are different in their destinies. They're different in their appearance. Verse 24, when her days were to be delivered, were fulfilled. "Behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment." They called his name Esau. Later on, we're told about Jacob. He was smooth-skinned. Boy, how different they looked. There'd be no problem telling these two twins apart. You've got the hairy one and the bald one. I know which one I think is more appealing. They're different in their appearance. They're different in their strengths. Verse 27 tells us about the interests of these boys as they became men. The boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. He's an outdoorsman. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. He was happy to be at home. Twin boys, and yet different even in their interests. And these boys are different in their weaknesses as well. It's a story that's recorded in this chapter that reveals the character weaknesses of both of these boys. The first we read about, starting in verse 28. We read about the story beginning in verse 28. "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought or boiled pottage." Think of this, he made a stew. Later we learn it's lentil stew. "And Esau came from the field and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom," or means red. It was red pottage. "And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Oh, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? I'm so hungry I could die.'" How many of you heard that one? "Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and the pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Oh, the birthright was significant. Esau's the firstborn. The firstborn is given family responsibility in the next generation when the father passes. The firstborn is given a greater share of the inheritance. Now, this occasion tells us about the weaknesses of these two young men. For Esau, his weakness was unwise, was that he was unwise in his decisions. He thought of the moment and he didn't think of the big picture. He made a fast decision without thinking of the implications of it. Unwise in his decisions. In the book of Hebrews, when the author of Hebrews describes Esau, he describes him with this expression that he was a profane person. It means that he lived for the immediate, right now. How many of you know when you make a decision and you make it for the immediate, not thinking of the implications, that you are really an unwise person? But in his life, this was a characteristic of his life, is a real weakness of his life. On the other hand, there is Jacob. Here's Jacob's weakness. He was unwise in his dealings. So even now, he is manipulating his brother to get what he wants, to take advantage of his brother when his brother was weak. And you know, all through the life of Jacob, you'll find this happen again and again and again and again and again until finally God broke him of his own pride. And you know, each one of our children is unique in every area of their life. And one of the great challenges of parenting and grandparenting as brothers and sisters together is working with each of these children. We have the same standard for all. We want them to seek the Lord, the standard of obeying the Lord and their parents and honoring their parents, but each child has his or her own way. And it would be wise for us to remember and work with the uniquenesses of each of our children. Well, with a pause, Rebecca again speaks. And she said, you know, Pastor, you're right in everything that you said and all that you taught, but would you mind if I told you about the biggest mistake that we made as a parent? Well, yeah, go right ahead. She said, we read about it already in the scriptures, but would you read it again? So I take the Bible and I go to Genesis chapter 25 and verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Then she says, okay, let me tell you about the biggest mistake we made. The biggest mistake we made was favoritism. It made sense. Esau was an outdoorsman. He loved the outdoors, and my husband really responded to that well. Of course, I'm keeping the home, and Jacob really was more comfortable there, and so he had his favorite, and I had my favorite, and it caused some real problems. Now, can I say when you have more than one child, the reality is that each child thinks that the other one is the favorite. How in the world you can have more than one child and each one believes that everyone else at some point is the favorite, I do not know. But it happens. How many of you kids think that your siblings is the favorite? Don't raise your hand. Your parents will look down the row. But you thought it, haven't you? They're treating me better. They're treating that. You know what I mean. I'm getting treated worse. They're the favorite. Moms and dads, I think all of us, as we look at the uniqueness of our children and just understanding that in all of it, we have to really be careful that we do the very best we can to be fair as we work with our children uniquely. Right? Well, Rebecca starts telling another story. And she tells about, because, you know, there was a time, I remember, when we had a famine. And in the famine, we had to decide what we were going to do. We were going to stay, we were going to go somewhere else, what were we going to do? And she's telling her story. And as she's telling her story, you remember, oh, that's found in Genesis 26. And she's telling her story as she recalls it in her experience. But you're reading the story as God records it. Genesis 26, 1, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear to Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, just as God had said. He made such a wise decision. But the story goes on. And the man of that place asked him of his wife, and he said, oh, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done to us? One of the people might have lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. You listen intently. She finishes the story and she says, in all the years I was married, there's only one time that Isaac really disappointed me. He was weak in faith. And he put himself and he put me and all our family in a very difficult position. And as she tells this, you're reading her body language and you realize how important this is to her and how difficult a memory this is for her. And so you say, Rebekah, what did you learn? And she says, I learned to trust God to do right, even when you can't trust people. When you think about that, I learned to trust God to do right, even when you can't trust people. The best of people is still a people. And our faith, though we're grateful for people, our faith is not in people, even the best of people. Because the best of people at best will still at times even disappoint us. And even each of us can look on our life, whatever your age, you're the elementary school young person, you're the person who's lived a long life, and you can all of us can look back and we can look at times when we disappointed somebody. And how important it is for all of us to put our trust in God, not in people. Hmm. So you ask Rebecca, you know, Rebecca, in that same chapter we just read, from which we just read, there are two verses that the Holy Spirit includes in the Bible, and I'm going to read them, and I'm going to ask if you know why the Holy Spirit put those verses in the Bible. And you have your Bible, and you open it to Genesis 26, and you look at verse 34, and then at verse 35. And you read them for Rebekah, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Without a bit of hesitation, Rebekah says, well, I'll tell you why God put those verses in the Bible. Because God wants all parents and all children to know this, that a child's choices will bring blessing or burden. A child's choices will bring blessing or burden. You see, each one of us have the will to make our own decision and what we will do. When a child seeks the Lord, what a blessing it brings to our lives. Proverbs chapter 17 describes this beautifully. You don't need to turn to it. But Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25, listen to what God tells us here. When God says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. On the other hand, when a child makes wise choices and honors the Lord, what blessing it brings. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says this, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have the joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And can I say for our young men and women that are in our congregation that just as you want your parents to make wise choices, and you want them to make wise choices so that you enjoy the blessing of the wise choices they make and not the burden of it, this is a two-way street. And you have the responsibility before God for the choices you make. And I hope that you choose wisely so the choices in your make not only bless you, that you make in your life not only bless you, but bless your parents, your family, and really all those that your life touches. Rebecca looks at the light in the windows and she realizes the sun is rising. And so she says to us, I must be on my way soon. I've had such a lovely time with you, but I really need to go, but there is something else that I have to share with you from my experiences. And then she pauses, and you notice that as she pauses, her shoulders slump a little. There's clearly the weight of a memory that brings grief. And her voice lowers a little and slows a little. And she says, guard yourself as you get older. Remember, you're never past making a major mistake. And she tells a story. She said, I don't know what I was thinking. I know better. I mean, I was an old lady. But when I got old, I still was weak in faith. And I should have known better, but what a bad choice I made. So she tells her story. We open our Bibles to the very story, Genesis chapter 27, where the story is recorded. And she begins to tell the story. We read it. It came to pass, verse 1 of Genesis 27. Then when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, "My son." He said to him, "Behold, here am I." He said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die." The blessing was very important. The birthright was legal and approached the legal standing of the firstborn son. But the blessing was something different. It was social. It was part of a family life for a father to pass to his firstborn son, a blessing of approval, a desire for what that son could become as that man dies and his son takes the leadership of their family. It's very important in that ancient culture. Rebecca says, you can read about what I did. Go ahead and read what I did. So we continue reading. Rebekah heard, verse 5, that Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Isaac went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spoke unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I'll make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death." Remember, she was his favorite. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, he's a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said to him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and fetch them. Go fetch me them." And so he goes and gets the goats. She kills the goats and he prepares the meat just with the seasonings that her husband loved. He's still, you know, this guy's got smooth skin. His brother's really hairy. What are we going to do? She takes the goat skins and she puts on his arms, puts it about his neck. And he walks in, does Jacob with this meat. "Here it is, Dad." His dad can't see, but he says, "Boy, that doesn't sound like Esau. That sounds like my son Jacob. Come here, boy, let me check it out." Reaches out and touches his arms. Whew, hairy. He must have been a hairy guy if goat hair. That is one hairy man. Reaches around his neck. Man, hairy. That's a hairy guy. "Sure feels like my son." He eats the meat. And he gives him the blessing. Well, right when he's done, he's deceived his father. Then in comes Esau. Esau comes from the field. He's got his venison now all prepared, and he goes into Dad, and "Dad, here, Dad, I brought it." "Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I just gave away the blessing to your brother." We read about it, verse 30. "It came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He had the savory meat and brought it to his father and said, Father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison that thy soul may bless me. Who art thou? He said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? I have eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed. And Esau heard these words of his father, and he cried with a great, exceeding, and bitter cry, and said to his father, Bless me even also, O my father. Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And Rebekah begins to tell about her failure, and she said, Let me tell you that in my old age, even in my old age, when I should have known better, I made a terrible choice. It brought the distrust of my husband. It brought division in my home. So verse 41 tells us of Genesis 27, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And she said, It brought the departure of my son. Verse 42, these words of Esau were, Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, and till thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that thou that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Should I not be deprived also of both in one day? And she says, You know, eventually my boys were reconciled. But it wasn't in my lifetime. I wasn't there to see it. I missed on so much. I missed out on my son, Jacob. I missed out on his family. I missed on... Because when I was an old woman, and I thought I was beyond it, I realized that I made a very foolish choice when I knew better. I died and was buried in the cave at Machpelah. I never was able in my lifetime to see the grace of God bring reconciliation. It should have never been, but it was because of the choice that I made. You see the heaviness on her face. You just can sense it. But then, you see a slight smile come to her face, and her countenance is filled with emotion. Her eyes are moist with a tear. And you realize that here's a woman that out of grief, there's still joy. Her tear was not a tear of sorrow, it was a tear of joy. And she says, I know that I have to go quickly. I see the sun's rising and our time is nearly done, but Rebekah says, there's one more thing. And here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that God is gracious. He can work far beyond your expectation and your limitation. Rebekah, that is such a powerful statement. Would you say that again? And she says, God is gracious. He can work beyond your expectations and your limitations. But would you explain to us what you mean by that? So she says, you know, in the New Testament, when God opens up the pages of the New Testament, And Matthew begins to tell the story of Jesus Christ. He begins with these words, Matthew 1, 1 and 2, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And there's a list of all the generations. Luke does the very same thing in his gospel when he records the story of Jesus. And we're included in that story. I am the great, 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 well, I'll stop because I can't say it all. I am the 37 greats grandmother of Jesus Christ. I would never have thought that God could have taken me from where I was, and with all the things that took place in my life, I would have never thought that God could do more than I could have ever imagined. And so that's why I say God is gracious. He can work far beyond your expectation and your limitations. Well, thank you so much for the time, she says. It's been just a joy to be with you. And thank you very much. And I must go. And we watch her, and she steps down the steps to the platform. And we all just watch her as she goes out. We don't really know what to do. I mean, we don't get church interrupted at Stanley Heights like that very often. I mean, we barely get an amen sometimes. We said, what in the world just happened? But we do think about what Rebecca told us. Rebecca told us that great relationships begin with great character. Every child is a gift from God. Every child is unique. Trust God to do right even when you can't trust people. A child's choices will bring blessing or burden. Guard yourself as you grow older. Remember, you're never past making a major mistake. God is gracious. He can work beyond your expectations and your limitations. And we go back to the time when God first begins the story of what he's doing in the world, and he introduced Rebecca to us. And a servant bows his head in worship to God, and he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And we remember that she said her life changed when she aligned her plans and purposes of life with God's plans and purposes in life. And we stop and we think, how is it that I need to be willing to realign my life and the purposes and plans that I have and align them with the purposes and plans that God has? And that's a day when our lives begin to change. Would you stand with me, please?